The Vietnam analogy was one of several arguments President Bush made this past week in a bid to boost public support for staying the course in Iraq. In that same speech, the president cited another, the value of democracy. Americans have always been united behind the democratic ideal. It's when it comes to the question of exporting democracy that they differ. So-called idealists support the aggressive promotion of democracy through diplomacy or even force. The realists approach foreign policy with a more pragmatic, perhaps less visionary, point of view. By this definition, President Bush is an idealist. He frequently has spoken of America's vital need to expand freedom around the world, but he hasn't been so vocal about it lately. Joining us is David Gergen. He served in the White House as an advisor to four presidents. He's currently the director of the Center for Public Leadership at the John F. Kennedy School of Government at Harvard University, where we've reached him. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you.
This drive to expand democracy did not begin with the Bush administration. What would you say, what recent presidents have been especially aggressive in promoting democracy?
Well, it's certainly true that through American history, the primary theme has been that we should be a model for others and let them emulate us, but not to aggressively export democracy. One has to say that in the modern age, presidents have talked much more freely about promoting democracy overseas. And I think probably the biggest apostle before George W. Bush was Ronald Reagan. He was eager to bring democracy to Eastern Europe and also to help the forces of democracy through building media, through helping write constitutions and that sort of thing. But George W. Bush, I think, will go down in the annals of history, especially for his second inaugural address, whose primary theme was the export of democracy. One difference is that President Bush seems to believe that we can do that through force of arms frequently. I think some of his predecessors were less enamored with that idea.
We have some tape from President Bush's second inaugural address where he did state very clearly that the United States would try to expand democracy in the world.
So it is the policy of the United States to seek and support the growth of democratic movements and institutions in every nation and culture with the ultimate goal of ending tyranny in our world.
What was your reaction when the president spoke those words?
I was surprised. Presidents don't ordinarily blow clear trumpets on this issue. For President Bush to do that in the midst of a war that was not going particularly well in Iraq, for him to say as forcefully as he did that we were going to be exporting democracy into many other parts of the world and that was going to be a primary theme of his administration, seemed to me to be have all sorts of what we might call heroic assumptions built into it, that he had the power to do that.
Why do you think we've heard so little of this rhetoric from the president in the past 2 years?
reality has taken over. He has no choice. He's been overwhelmed by it. Even with the progress that we're making on the ground in Iraq, it's very clear that we haven't been unable to bring a vibrant, workable democracy to Iraq. Everybody agrees that the political side is not working. The people around the president have swerved way over to the idea that at best in a place like Iraq, what we can hope for is some stability. President Bush, I believe, still clings to the sense that he hopes he can bring democracy to these places. He talks about it in a lower key, but he still talks about it. In his speech this past week to the veterans of foreign wars, he spoke three times about it. This is a man who still believes in the export of democracy. He's simply not making it as much of a – he's not banging the drum quite as hard.
We actually have an excerpt from his address to the veterans of foreign wars, the convention in Kansas City.
The lesson from Asia's development is that the heart's desire for liberty will not be denied. Once people even get a small taste of liberty, they're not going to rest until they're free. Today's dynamic and hopeful Asia, a region that brings us countless benefits, would not have been possible without America's presence and perseverance.
David Gergen, how valid are the presidents of South Korea and Japan in this context of the United States persisting in Iraq?
I think it's fair to say that on the facts, there were many accuracies in the president's speech. He was right on some of the facts. I think where the historians so heavily disagree is on the interpretation of the facts. Most historians would say, look, of the three wars in Asia, yes, we persevered in a very different kind of war against Japan, but that Japan was, after all, a functioning modern country, albeit one run by a dictatorship as it went into the war, so that there were the makings of a stable society, if you would, and even a democracy there. On Korea, you know, we didn't fight Korea to victory. We had a Republican president, Dwight Eisenhower, who campaigned on the theme that I will go to Korea and end this and seek an armistice, in effect, which is what he did. And what we now find is, yes, the southern half of Korea has become a democracy, but one can hardly say that about the Hermit Kingdom to the north. We did not seek victory in Korea. We did not hang in there and do that. And in Vietnam, of course, while it may be a rising economic power, it is hardly a model of democracy.
There have been disappointments, as you've mentioned, in the promotion of democracy, Iraq, Afghanistan, Lebanon, Palestinian territories. But there were free elections in all four. So what does this say about the importance of elections in building democracy?
Be careful of what you wish for. Heretofore, it has been a primary tenet of American foreign policy that we would encourage democracies in those countries where we thought it had a reasonably good chance of taking root. And we have been very, very reluctant to push democracy in various parts of the Middle East. We should be very respectful of the traditions that other peoples have embraced. And if they wish to embrace democracy, let us stand there and help them do that. But let's not try to impose that on them. And that's what I think has stirred up his hornet's nest in the Middle East and raised the question, was it worthwhile to push so hard to get Hamas elected in the Gaza area? One can notice that the Bush administration itself, which was once lecturing Egypt about the importance of democracy and, you know, peering into the future and recognizing what elections might bring, has pulled back from that tone and that hectoring quality.
Given what you've said, how do you think this administration's experience with aggressively trying to spread democracy is likely to affect how the next president approaches the same goal?
The next president is going to face some of the toughest challenges of any new president in modern history, starting with the inheritance in the Middle East. And I think the next president inevitably is going to have to spend a lot of his or her time trying to untangle the mess in the Middle East. I am certain that the next president, whoever it is going to work harder to build alliances with Europe to try to solve these problems. I think they're going to show more caution and restraint in the use of American military power. The next president is going to face this hugely difficult problem of Iran, and that's going to require a lot of toughness, but a good deal of thought and a capacity to build a consensus here at home. We do need to forge some sort of national unity at home. The debate that's coming this September, October over Iraq provides that opportunity, but one, it's hard to be terribly encouraged about the attitudes of many of the players on both sides as we approach this debate.
David Gergen served in the White House as an advisor to four presidents. He's currently the director of the Center for Public Leadership at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, and that's where we reached him. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to NPR News.